The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
I want to talk to Nettie and Sarah now. Nettie, welcome.
Hello.
To the Bunker Show.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us eventually.
So rude every time.
Yeah. She's been sat here beautifully for the last 2 hours.
To be fair, though, I am good at it.
Yeah, that's
being
true.
Rude.
That's true.
Yeah.
And particularly to me.
But I specialise. If I ever went on Mastermind, it would be Paul Andrews. Being rude to Nettie is my specialist subject.
And I think she gives pretty well back, actually.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It's lovely to see you, as
you
always,
too.
Nettie. Thank you so much.
Both so dishonest.
Yeah. So why don't you tell us what you've bought to
what
talk
I've
about?
Bought.
What you've bought to talk about?
A gift.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is a gift.
Yeah.
Well, actually, today I've brought Sarah with me, who's heads up our R&D department,
yep.
And I know that R&D is one of your favourite topics.
It certainly is. Yeah.
And so Sarah really and I. Mainly Sarah.
Totally Sarah.
We'll talk you through some of the different things, how people go about it, some examples of what we've got, and probably going away from the traditional what people think R&D is as opposed to what R&D really is.
Or we could put you on the spot and find out what you really know.
This would be
We could do, couldn't we? That would be fun,
we've
wouldn't it?
We've got a 100-question quiz. Let me just get it out of my handbag.
Right, okay.
Start with the really difficult ones.
He did look worried, though, didn't he?
No. See, I know you made that number up because you didn't put a decimal place in it.
Three recurring.
Yeah. Is that Sarah? Hey, listen, Sarah. Welcome to the Business Monkey Show.
You.
It's an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Nettie's absolutely right. I'm obsessed with R&D. I think it's really crucial that, especially in this day and age, that
absolutely.
We develop and create and do new stuff. And one of the interesting things about the government's research and development refund scheme is how many people don't realise they're eligible for it.
Absolutely.
Why don't you start off by telling us what it's about and kind of how it works and then go from
there.
We'll
start small, shall we?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
Okay. So, in essence, the R&D scheme is there for people that are doing something new, enhancing or improving something that exists, have overcome challenges whilst trying to do it, and have, as I say, put something in place that's either a new product, a new process, or they have significantly improved something that already exists.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? Because if you talk to R&D about a lot of people, they think it's only about engineering or science.
Absolutely.
Yeah. White coats.
And you need a white coat and some stethoscopes or something.
No. Yeah. It's any industry, any sector.
Yeah.
If you can demonstrate that you have gone out of your way to do something better or to bring something new to market, a new product, for example, lots of people will sit there and they might tinker around with things. It's like you were saying, you know, it never ends up the way you think it's going to.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
You start a project or you start something and before you know it, you've got something completely different that you weren't expecting or anticipating.
Yeah.
And you might then focus on that and think, actually, I've got something really great here. That's the point where you should start to think about R&D and whether or not you would be eligible.
Yeah, absolutely. So just give us a feel for some of the, I don't want to sound silly here, but some of the ordinary things, do you see what I mean? You know, because so many people have got this, I could never do that. We've never done anything different. When they actually have, they just don't see it in terms of, you know, I'm trying to avoid using words like everyday or mundane or something because they're not. But they're the kind of things that people do and don't realise they've innovated, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. So I work predominantly at the moment with construction companies, which is one of those areas where you'd probably think, no, absolutely, there can't be anything there. But because it's such it's an industry that really does have very tight budgets, very tight timelines.
Yep.
It's an incredibly difficult environment to work in. And invariably, they'll come across challenges that they weren't anticipating or weren't expecting. And it's what you do to overcome that challenge. So that is one of those sectors that people would think, oh, no, I don't get it. Obviously, people understand pharmaceuticals. They understand working in a lab. They understand producing new products. But what they might not think about is those times when they have worked within their own environment to improve their output, improve their outcomes, to, I don't know, make food last longer, shelf lives, to improve flavour within food. There are so many different areas, software, and again, this is one of those areas where people, I think, are more aware because they know that what they're doing technically is quite advanced. But then you've got people who are working with wearable tech or they are, you know, looking to improve upon the various things they've already brought to market. And whilst you are doing that, and whilst you are reviewing, it also might be that you've got a company and you've decided to diversify. So you think, actually, there's another area I could go into. And in doing that, you are going to have to review your processes, your machinery. It can be found absolutely anywhere.
Absolutely. And that's a fantastic description of what's going on. I don't know if you can answer this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Because a lot of people, they look at this and they go, what's the catch? Why are the government doing this? Because they're not renowned for giving us tax money back, are they? But they've been doing this for quite some time now, so there must be a very good reason why they're doing it.
So they've been doing it for 20 years. There are numerous reasons, and actually that I think they're getting more complex as time goes on. But we have a great history of innovation in this country, engineering, manufacturing, and there, you know, there is this need to keep that within the country. What you don't want to see is these young startups, these companies that are truly at the cutting edge of what they do, leaving this country to go somewhere where they will pay less tax and they are benefiting more financially. What we want to do is keep them here, to grow them here and to keep them where we can nurture that. So there is that. There is the knowledge that for every pound they give back, £4 goes back into the economy, roughly. Because you get that money in, you're going to continue to innovate. Or alternatively, you'll employ someone else and take them in and you'll grow your business. With Brexit, those reasons have become, as I said, kind of more varied, more intense. We will potentially lose access to European funding or the boundaries for that will change. I suspect we'll still put money in, but it may be more difficult to access. So again, we need a scheme in this country that is going to encourage that innovation to continue and keep those companies with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know if you know, we have 17 unicorn businesses in the UK at the moment, and a unicorn business is a startup valued at $1 billion. We have 17 in the UK at the moment. I think 16 of them are fintech companies and the other one's a gaming company. But and we lead the world in fintech. There's a fintech startup every 50 seconds. In the UK at the moment. And I think a lot of that is exactly as you described, Sarah, because the government have given back something to encourage people to generate new businesses. And digital and software-based businesses are one of the areas where so many things are happening.
Fastest growing. And obviously things change so quickly in that space. Which is why fintech, you know, we want ever advanced security. We want to protect our money, our finances.
Absolutely.
Cyber security, know, the methods by which you get into your phone, facial recognition, these things change so quickly and we can enhance them and advance them so quickly that yes, that is an incredibly large growth sector.
Tell me about it. I just got a new phone that went from fingerprint recognition to face recognition. You want to see the mayhem I caused on the underground with that, trying to use my Apple Pay, by pressing a button that wasn't there. Brilliant.
Great stuff.
You're absolutely right, Sarah. And it kind of ties in with everything we've been talking about as well, isn't it? Which is this escalation of things that are going on and how one thing builds on top of another. And certainly in the field of digital and technology, each new breakthrough spurns a whole heap of other breakthroughs. Somebody invents a process or a thing and you go, I could incorporate that into this and do that with it. So it's this arms race that's going on all the time, and we are particularly good at it in this country, which is why we lead the world in a lot of these things. But our history has been one over the years of actually letting a load of those new innovations go and go to overseas companies that are buying out things. And that still happens much, to be honest. But cool. Just for what it's worth, I was reading something yesterday about a very small British company that claim to be on the point of a breakthrough in microfusion nuclear technology. If they really are, that is a game changer beyond all game changers that have ever happened in the past.
Bill Gates has been doing this for a million years.
Yeah, he's been talking about it.
No, he's doing it.
No, he's been talking about it, but nobody can make it work.
He told me he's been doing it.
Did he ring you and say, Sarah, I've done it, I cracked it, mate? Yeah. No, no, a lot of people have spent a lot of money looking at micro-nuclear technology because they know it's the greenest technology you can get, but you need nuclear to be acceptable.
But it's the way they call it all.
It's cold fusion. Cold fusion technology. But this company in Yorkshire claimed to be on the point of being able to produce a nuclear power station, for under a couple of million quid that works. We shall see. We shall see.
Well, it's the way forward.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm. It always was and it always will be if you can make the technology work. Mm. But anyway, we digress. Because what will happen is, if they have made the technology work, someone's going to buy them out, and it ain't going to be someone from this country, that's for sure.
It'll be Bill Gates,
It'll be Bill Gates, because he's been playing with it for ages. Because he rang you and told you, didn't he? So, he said, Bird, it's Bill.
You don't realise what this finger knows and button it's on.
I'm having them. Yeah. Anyway, Sarah.
Yes. Sarah, how did we know that that we've got something that would be R&D worthy?
Yeah.
So in the first instance, what I would say is if you think you hit any of those criteria, so you think you've done something that could be viewed as challenging. So when we say challenging, there needs to be a certain amount of expertise that's been applied. So HMRC will refer to them as competent professionals. So if you think that you are or know that you are a professional in your field and it was challenging to you, and by that we mean it's taken more than, just a few weeks. This is something that you've really got to have worked hard at. If you think that you've got something like that, then the best thing to do is probably to talk to an expert who will quite happily sit down and talk to you, whether it's for 15 minutes, half an hour, and just talk through what you've done and give you a really good steer on whether or not that's something that could be pursued.
Do they identify what a professional is to them? Do they identify the time it's taken for you to do something? Or is it not that boundary forming? Is it more subjective?
It's more subjective. Mm. And I think this is where a lot of people struggle with the guidelines and with the scheme itself, is that it's not very clearly defined in some areas. So you are kind of working in the grey a little bit when it comes to defining what is a competent professional. Because, for example, you could have had 20 years in the sector but no formal qualifications, right, but you're still a competent professional with a huge amount of skill in that area. So there is that element of common sense in terms of the way in which we define it. But as I said, nobody's going to mind having a 10-15 minute conversation if you think that is something that you are doing and you would like further advice.
Mm. Interesting.
So and just leading on from that, if you then think that you've got something that does fulfil the criteria, what is it that you actually claim, if you see what I mean?
Absolutely. So it's what we call the qualifying expenditure. So that's what you have spent on the R&D work itself. And for the purposes of the small business scheme or the SME scheme, that is salaries. So any salary you've paid yourself or your employees. I should note that you do need to be a limited company, so you need to be eligible for corporation tax.
Right.
You don't have to be paying it. You can be a loss-making company. I know this is one of these myths surrounding whether or not you can claim. You don't have to be in profit. You can be loss-making.
Which is just as well, because I don't know if you know, but the vast majority of businesses don't make a profit.
They don't, no. Yeah. And they think that then precludes them from claiming.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And they've been told that potentially by others, that you can't claim if you're in loss.
Right.
And that simply isn't the case.
Yeah.
So we then have wages, subcontracted costs. So if you have brought in additional expertise on top of your own, we can claim against that.
Okay.
That's capped at 65%.
Right.
And material costs. So if you have made something from scratch, you will have prototype, tested, trialed, all of which will have been done to the point of breaking, I suspect. So those costs can all be included. And then we have a pot of money to which there is an enhancement. So 100,000 becomes 130,000.
Right.
And this is where people start to say that's too good to be true. Mm-hmm. Genuinely, that is the scheme. They give you a bonus, if you like, for innovating. So 100,000 becomes 130,000. And then you save the corporation tax rate if you were in profit. Mm. At that point, it starts to get a bit complicated, but roughly 25,000 for every 100,000 spent.
Right. OK. So there's a lot going on there.
Massive amount, yes. Yeah.
You need to talk to someone that knows what they're talking about.
Ideally, that would be the way forward.
Don't try and do it yourself.
Yeah. No, but I'm serious about this as which is why a lot of people get put off of this, because they'll talk to their little accountancy company who go, oh, either they go, oh, that's too complicated for us to deal with, and they go, no, it doesn't suit you. Or they'll actually try and make a claim without really understanding it themselves. And put people off. So from my point of view, I've in various businesses now, I've done 4 or 5 R&D claims using professional companies such as yourself to do that. And I think all of mine have worked. I don't think I've ever been turned down on one.
No.
But I hear so many people go, oh, I asked my accountant about that and they said we wouldn't do it. Like, really?
Yeah, we still hear that quite a lot, sadly, where the accountants have said, no, you don't qualify.
Yeah.
Ideally, yes, you'd come to an expert, and this is where we excel. We go in and we make sure that we capture all of the costs against all areas that you might be innovating in. And some of those areas surprise even the businesses. They don't feel that they can claim against these areas.
Yep.
By taking one of us in, we can say, actually, there is R&D in far greater numbers than you would have thought.
Yeah. I guess one of the problems is people don't know what they don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's also this perception of what R&D is, you know, because a lot of small businesses will go, you know, they don't set out with a project to develop something, A lot of the time they go, oh, that didn't work, I'll add one of those to it. Oh, that was interesting. Mm. I'll add that to it. And, oh, if we wrote a little script that did that, it could do that. And before you know it, they've got a product there and they go, oh, that was clever, we'll do that. And then you go, did you develop anything? No.
I know.
Yeah, because they just didn't follow what they think is a traditional R&D process of employing someone in a white coat with a clipboard who said, right, now invent a space rocket. Go.
But that's how all the best inventions happen, isn't it?
Yeah, they're accident. They're always accidental or incremental.
Yeah,
it's always a process of evolution. People never, ever look at that. You know, we talk about inventors. We talk about, you know, Edison inventing the light bulb. He did not invent the light bulb. There were thousands of people working on incandescent filaments, each one of them feeding off each other and talking to each other and doing stuff. And eventually he got the patent because he got to the patent office first.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's as simple as that.
Yeah.
It's a fascinating area. Because it is the lifeblood of what we do, which is to create, innovate, and develop new products and services. You know, in the way that Bert was talking about Amazon earlier, and how they've kind of created new stuff. And the more we can do that, the better things can be. But it's this vastly untapped area of people sitting on innovations that they made and not believing that they can do anything to reward themselves for having done it.
Well, I think it's product-based as well. You think that you only need a patent for something that's tangible product. And actually, for example, Amazon have got a patent in for the security of a droid of a, what's it called? The ones in the air.
A drone.
Yeah, a drone. A drone in the air for the security. So how the system works is under the patent, not the drone itself. So it's really interesting, but we're just not into that. We haven't got that mindset you have, Sarah, where we're, oh, is that something that I would come to you for? So even just hearing that, okay, so my business in loss, okay, so now I can come to you and even just talk about it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Pick up the phone. Yeah. Give us a call.
And it makes a real difference to businesses as well. You know, if you've got, I've got one in mind that we can't mention at the moment, but somebody who's invested an awful lot of money in something which is an absolute game changer. And you know what? Why shouldn't they claim all that money back? Because the enhancements they're making that we should... This is somebody in energy that we're both working with at the moment. And the things that they're doing will make such a difference.
Huge.
And it's still at the beginning of a journey.
Yep.
You know, this could be R&D claims for years and years and years as it's developed.
So you can claim more than once?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you could continue to claim all the time you're continuing to do R&D. So as long as you can demonstrate that you still meet that criteria, so you're still improving, enhancing, doing something new, you can continue to claim.
And it's a virtuous circle. You know, a lot of people say to me, but the government are going to stop this at some point. But they actually make money out of it.
Yep.
Yeah, the government make money out of this. What was it, £4 for every pound they give back? Yeah. Yep. They'd be insane to stop it. They'd be absolutely insane. So they ain't going to stop it anytime soon.
I don't believe so. And certainly, as I said, with changes in Europe and access to funding that way.
Yeah, it should go the other way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it could.
Yeah.
And we'll wait to see what happens there. But, you know, that is a possibility.
You could also go back.
You can
and
go
that's
back
an
2 years.
Thing. So if there's anybody listening now that hasn't or thinks they have got something and they want to talk about it, we'd be happy to talk to them.
Okay.
It's 2 years, isn't it?
About 2 years,
Two years.
Okay.
You can go back.
So that 2 years, is that from the start of a project or the end of a project?
No, so what we do it by is the year in which that money's been spent.
Right, okay.
So we would look at the accounts and we would say, okay, what have you spent in that financial year?
Okay.
So, for example, if we've got a company with a March year end, at the moment, as we're sat here now, they could claim against March 18, March 19, and then March 20. So they've got nearly 3 years' worth of expenditure that they can draw upon. So it's all linked with when that money was spent.
Right.
That project could go on for decades, potentially, and does in the case of pharmaceuticals.
Yep.
So you continue to claim all the time money is being spent through the financial accounts for that year.
Fantastic. Okay.
And do we just call you? We just ring you?
Just ring me.
And do we have to be with Rift?
Do you have to be with Rift?
Does your company, have to be with Rift? Or we can just ring you up as a Q&A?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you specialise in particular industry sectors or anything?
No, anything goes.
Right. Cool. We'll do anything, anytime.
Anytime.
Anywhere.
Any sector. You name it.
The more interesting, the better.
There was an ad about that, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Anytime, any place,
anywhere. Anywhere.
Yeah. Was there
one nimble.
Yeah.
Nimble.
It was nimble bread. Yeah.
Nimble bread.
Yeah. It was hot air balloon.
There's martini.
Right.
It's martini.
Oh, martini.
Oh, yeah. Martini
in the last one. That never took off, did it?
Yeah.
Sorry, I just had to get to that.
That we can tell people that's unusual that we've done.
That's broadcastable.
We've got some that isn't.
Yeah.
See, now all I've got is the really unrepeatable stuff in my head.
Well, you can tell us when we're off air.
When we're off air. We've had some interesting articles go out recently that has drawn upon the more unusual areas. Mm. But we've also done a piece looking at, you know, if... the lightsaber were real and various other things.
Right, okay.
So in terms of what
are you telling me it's not?
Okay.
Ish.
Apologies to everyone.
Next you'll be telling me there's no such thing as Santa, for goodness sake.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
So, we've worked on all kinds of food and drinks orientated. So you've got different smoothies, different nutritional drinks, different supplements. I've worked with a personal trainer who's introduced a new PT program based on biomechanics, because obviously you can clearly see the link with science. Sadly, I've been very much ensconced in the construction industry of late, although there are some very, very interesting stuff coming out of there to do with energy sustainability and the way in which we can work faster and greener. I'll have to have a little think, I think, about the more unusual.
What about, there's a certain food one. Can we say that, the local one?
Yeah, absolutely. They're subject of... case studies.
I'll leave you to it. You know what
Ken Crisps.
Oh, yes, I know the lovely folks at Ken Crisps. Yeah.
Yeah,
what have they been up to?
All sorts. The products that they make, obviously, the flavourings, the recipes, it's not as straightforward as you'd think to create a crisp.
Yeah.
I think we all take that for granted.
Yeah rum and baked bean flavour takes some developing,
doesn't
it?
Well, there you go, absolutely.
The what?
Rum and baked bean. Have you
rum.
Not had rum and baked bean? Have you not had it?
Well, crisps.
Yeah, yeah. What's she turning her nose up
That'll
for?
That'll be R&D.
Yeah.
Like, you see?
All pirates drink rum, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. That's why I said
done,
it. That's why
done,
I said it. They all drink rum and eat baked beans, don't they? That's
hey.
Like I was trying to entice her into this.
Hey, you've done enough to my reputation. Enough said. All right.
We have done a lot of alcohol claims.
Yeah.
They're quite fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Tasting. You've obviously got to taste the product. So.
Yeah, yeah.
To know that it works.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They've done
Have you got anything
right.
with CBD?
No, I'd be really interested, yes. though.
All right, I'll pass you on to a couple of people.
Have you?
Seriously.
I'd be very interested because I know that there are shampoos and various other skin products.
Yeah.
But yeah,
drinks now, there's drinks with CBD in it, so it's very interesting. All right.
Because the taste of that is quite bitter, isn't it, when it's not put with. So it'd be interesting to see how they've managed to do that in drinks.
And I think that's the point, isn't it, with R&D, the variety of what it can be. You know, you go from one end of the spectrum on energy to a pack of crisps and all of it fits.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, very different.
Cool. We're at the end of the show, so I just need to say a huge thank you to Sarah Collins of Rift Research. Thank you so much, Sarah.
Rift Research. That's really impressive.
What?
Rift Research. I love it. You've got a whole department.
Yeah, yeah.
They've got a whole company. Rift Research. Big. Yeah.
You've been there, Sarah, you know.
Thank you so much, Sarah. That's a really fascinating insight into the world of R&D and R&D funding. Thank you to Nettie for bringing Sarah along and for being here for most of the show.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.